Bottom of Kuftes Vav Amid Beis, just three lines up from the bottom, Omar Mar. We learned in the Brisa Hakol Ksherim Lahakriv, and this was the Brisa of Chizda brought earlier, that up until the Hakamas HaMishkan, they were allowed to bring a carbon from all Balei Chaim Tahor, many kosher species of animals. The Gemara asks Binani Mili, how do we know such a thing? What's the source for this halach of Hakol Ksherim Lahakriv? Omer Avhuna, the Omer Kra, the Pasuk in Noach, says, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach Lashem, Vayikach Mikol HaBeima HaTorah, Umikol Of HaTahar. And Rav Huna now analyzes the words of this Pasuk. Behema Kimashma'o. Chaya B'chlal Behema. The Torah doesn't mention and doesn't command Noach explicitly to bring in a chaya, because chaya is included in behema. Whenever the Torah says behema, it includes chaya. And that's derived from a pasuk in Dvarim Yudalid that says, Zos ha-behema shatochlu. And then further in that parsha it says, Ayal utzvi viachmar, which are chaya. So that's behema shatochelu means that behema includes chaya as well. And here we're turning to Kuf Tez Zayin Amin Aleph. The Braisa continues and says that before Hakamas HaMishkan, there was permission to be Makriv Zecharim Unikevos Tmimim Ubalei Mumim. And in parentheses, there's a girsa that says, the Omar Mar Tamus V'Zachrus B'Behema V'Ein Tamus V'Zachrus B'Ofos V'Iskash Behema Li'Of. So we have a hekesh between Behema and Of, and in the case of Of, there's no difference between Zachrus and Nakvus. That distinction only applies to Behema. And the case of Tmimim and Bali Mumim, that applies to Oph, and therefore by analogy to Behema. La Fuke Mechusar Ever Delo. You're not allowed to be Makrive Mechusar Le Ever. The animal is missing a limb. That's also Lakrov L'Bnei Noach. Again, our whole discussion here is about Bnei Noach. Because if we're talking about Yisrael, forget about Mechusar Ever, it would be a Balmum, which is Pasul Mizbeach. Here we're talking about Hakrovas Bnei Noach, and there a Balmum is kosher, but not a Mechusar Ever. The Omer Abu Lazar, Minayin L'Mechusar Ever, Shenesa L'Ben Noach. How do we know that a Ben Noach is not allowed to be Makriv, an animal that's missing a limb? Talmud Lomar, based on the Pasuk again, in addressing Noach, Umikol HaChai, Umikol Basar, Shnayim Mikol Tovi El HaTeva. Omer Torah, Havei Behema Shechayin Roshei Evarim Shalah. In other words, when the Torah says Hachai, Mikol Hachai, what is Mikol Hachai teaching you? That it means it has all its Evarim. Again, the Braisa emphasizes Rosh Evarim, meaning it is, if one of the Rosh Evarim is missing, then even though the rest of the Evar is there, but part of the Evar is gone, that's enough to generate a prohibition of Hakrova. In other words, the Evarim are responsible, the limbs of the animal are responsible for generating chiyus, for giving life to the animal. And therefore we need all the Evarim to be intact. And in the case of a Behema Mechuseres Ever, the animal is excluded from the Mizbeach, from Hakrova, even for a Ben Noach, who's allowed to bring Balei Mumim. And even though this tzivui is addressed to Noach with regard to bringing the animals into the teva, it's not in the context of Hakrov al Gabi Mizbeach, nevertheless, it's logical to assume that the intention here of this Isur is regarding Hakrova, meaning that these animals, which you would think are brought on the Mizbeach after the Mabul, Noach brought Korbanos after the Mabul, you might think that we can include all animals, but no, the Torah says, Hachai, to teach me that there's a Hakpeda here, that not to bring into the teva an animal that's missing a limb, a mechusar eiver, because in such a case, the animal is not roi lakrova. It's posel lakrova even for ben noach. Now there's a Tosus elsewhere, not here, which is quoted in the Stipler in the Kilos Yaakov, and the way the Stipler understood Tosvis is that there's no Iser for Ben Noach to be makriv a mechusar eiver. After all, Ben Noach only has seven mitzvahs. This would be an eighth one. But rather, if he took a neder to bring a karbon, and then he brought a mechusar eiver, we're going to tell him that he should bring a karbon shalem, and not a mechusar eiver. The Gemara asks the following question, v'dilma l'me'utei treifa, maybe the intention of this tzivui, of this command to Noach, of mikola chai, chai means an animal that could live, as opposed to an animal that's going to die, telling the b'nei Noach that they're not allowed to be makriv a behema treifa, which is going to die, and therefore it's not included on the mikol chai, it doesn't have chius. Tosus Dibra Maschav Dilma asks a question about Tziporim Shel Mitzora, and there in the Torah it says that the Mitzora should take Shtei Tziporim Chayos, and the Gemara Chulin derives from the word Chayos to exclude a Tzipor Trefa and at the same time a Mechuseres Eiver. In other words, it seems from the Gemara Chulin that we could derive two halachas from the same single pasuk chayos. Here, the Gemara understood that we cannot derive two halachas from one pasuk. And therefore, the Gemara says, "V'dilma l'mutei treifa." How do you know that this pasuk mikol chay is coming to exclude a mechusar eiver? Maybe it's coming to exclude a treifa and only a treifa. And Tosfos answers that with regard to tzipori Mitzora, that's a carbon of Yisrael, which is a carbon. And with regard to carbonos, we can certainly carbonos of Yisrael, we can certainly combine mechusar eiver with treifa, and we could exclude both of them for one pasuk. But in the case of a ben Noach, who is permitted to be, he's allowed to be makriv of bal mum, now we have to be very specific in terms of what to exclude. In other words, which carbonos, which animals are posel. And one derivation for mechusar eiver would not be sufficient for treifa and vice versa. We would need a separate miyud for both treifa and for mechusar eiver in the case of a ben noach who's allowed to bring a balmum. The Gemara answers, Hahu milachayos zera nafka. The pasuk says lachayos zera al pnei kol haaretz, and the assumption here is that which animal has the ability of lachayos zera al pnei kol haaretz, meaning a yoledes vlados. That's only an animal that's not a treifa, but an animal that's a treifa is an ena yoledes. It doesn't have the capacity to give birth. Therefore, it's not included on the lechayos zera, and it's excluded under the law, and we exclude hakrovas treifa under the law under the condition of lechayos zera, because a treifa is not a yoledes. That frees up the pasuk mikol chai for an exclusion to invalidate a mechusar eiver. So the Gemara asks, "Hanicha lamandi yomer treifa ini yoledes elu lamandi yomer treifa yoledes Michael Amemar." We have an opinion that a treifa is capable of giving birth, and therefore the treifa would not be excluded from lechayos zera. Therefore, we need lechayos zera according to that mandi yomer to exclude and invalidate a treifa, and therefore we don't have a pasuk, since we cannot use lechayos zera to exclude treifa. We're going to have to exclude treifa from the pasuk mikol achai. We no longer have the pasuk mikol achai free to exclude a mechusar eiver. So how do we know to exclude a mechusar eiver and invalidate it as a karmon? And the Gemara answers, Ha'amar kra, the pasuk says, U'mikol hachai, mikol basar, shnayim mikol tavil atevil hachios, itach. How do we interpret that extra word, itach? Bidomim loch. The assumption here is that Noach himself is not a treifa. He's going to live for a while. And itach, excuse me, means to take into the teva animals that are similar to you, in that feature that they're not a treifa, and that excludes a treifa from being brought into the teva, which means that it can't be brought into the teva because it's not kosher lakrova. The note here quotes the Vilna Gaon, who says that there's a difference in biblical Hebrew between two words, ito and imo. Imo means an absolute equation between the two. That's called imo. But the implication of ito is that there's some similarity, some common denominator, but not any sort of, we're far away from an identity between. So for example, if two people are involved in one action and they both have the same intention, then we're going to say that one implemented or initiated the action and the other was emo. Emo means identical. But if the implication is that they're not identical, one did a pa'ula and the second one did something similar, that's called ito. And here the word itach means that although the Baalei Chaim are certainly not identical with Noach, but they're domim lo, they have a certain similarity that they're not a treifa. And now the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that Noach was not a treifa? Dilma Noach gufei treifa havi. Who says that Itoch is coming to exclude treifa, as if to say that Noach for sure was not a treifa? Maybe Noach himself was a treifa, and then we don't have the miut of Itoch. And the Gemara answers, Tomim Ksivbe, the Torah says about Noach, describing him as Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayab Dorosav. The extra word Tamim here indicates that he was Sholim Begufo, and he wasn't a Trefa. The Gemara says, Vidilma Tamim, maybe the word Tamim means something more moral and ethical, not physical. Bidrachav, he was Tamim Bidrachav, meaning he was an Anav, he was a Savlon, he had plenty of patience for people, he was humble. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be the meaning of the word tamim, because the pasuk says tzaddik. It says, Noach ish tzaddik tamim hayo b'doro. So the word tzaddik already tells me that he's an onav and a savlon. And therefore, the word tamim must be referring to tamim begufo. So from the word tzaddik, we know that the word tamim is extra, and it's got to be referring to tamim begufo, because as far as the moral qualities of Noach, those are indicated by the word tzaddik. And Gemara says, no, even in the moral context, I need both tzaddik and tamim, because v'dilma, tamim bidrachav, v'tzaddik b'masav. We have two moral categories here. One is the attributes of Anav v'Savlon, that's called Tomim v'Drachov, and the other is Tzadik v'Masov, meaning that he doesn't steal from anybody or cheat from anybody, that's called Tzadik v'Masov. So at the end of the day, we still don't have the word Tomim as a proof that Noach was not a Trefa, which would in turn justify the Drasha of Itach. We don't know that Noach is not a treifa on the physical level. And the Gemara answers, Isal kedaitach to Noach gufei treifa. If you entertain the possibility that Noach himself was a treifa, is Mika Omerle, would HaKadosh Baruch have said to him, this is a rhetorical question, Lenoach, de kavasach ayil, when he said Itach, which means the kavasach, somebody similar or an animal that's similar to you, is he telling Noach to bring in the treifos into the teva? Meaning shlomim lotile, don't take any healthy animals into the teva. That's impossible. Therefore, we have no choice but to assume that Noach himself was not a treifa. Now, we're going to exclude treifa from the word itach, and now the kol chai is free to exclude a mechusar eiver case. That you cannot, a benoach cannot be, there's no permission to be makriv a a mechusar eiver animal onto the mizbeah. The Gemara asks, "Umeachad denafkalon meitach lechayos zera uamali." If we're going to exclude treifa from itach, we're going to exclude mechusar eiver from mikol chai. What are we doing with lechayos zera? In other words, before we thought that lechayos zera was coming to exclude treifa, but now we're using the word itach to exclude treifa. And the Gemara answers, "Ma'u detema itach." Maybe the word itach has nothing to do with the actual hakrava, to tell you which Bali Chaim he's allowed to bring on the Mizbech and which to exclude, meaning to exclude Trefa. Maybe the Pasuk is just telling you Litzavta Bialma, meaning that Noach shouldn't be alone in the Teva, suffer from loneliness. He needs, so to speak, company, friendship, and therefore Afilu Zaken Afilu Saris. He's allowed to bring in Bali Chaim that are old, that are incapable of reproducing. Is kamash balon, therefore I need the pasuk l'chayos zera to show me that it's not, the intention here is not the pasuk is coming to tell you bring in animals for tzavta bialma for friendship, but rather l'chayos zera to keep the world propagated. Now we have the word itach as a superfluous word, and it's coming to exclude treifa. Once it's excluding treifa, then mikol achai is free to exclude mechusar eiver. The Gemara now clarifies the brice that was brought on the last amud that establishes that before Hakamas HaMishkan, you were allowed to bring all bali chayim as karbonas bakrova, as long as their tahorim, their kosher animals, have a low tmeim, not non-kosher animals cannot be brought. The Gemara asks, we already clarified earlier with regard to the laws of Hakrovas Karbonos before Matan Torah. These were Karbonos that applied to Bnei Yisrael before they had the status of Bnei Noach, and therefore those Karbonos on the 5th of Sivan at the end of Parashat Mishpatim were Karbonos of Ben Noach. And therefore, the Isur of being makriv tmeim of non-kosher animals should be derived from the case of Kodem Matan Torah, that Karbonos Kodem Matan Torah. Umihavu tmeim utahorim bahi shaita. So Gemara says at that point, at the time of Noach, the Torah wasn't given yet. And before the Torah is given, there's no distinction between a min tahar and a min tameh. And therefore, maybe the tzivui to Noach, to take behemos, has a different implication. It's not coming to imply that you only bring in tahorim, tahoros, but not tmeos. I mean, that old distinction between tmeos and tahoros doesn't apply to a ben Noach before Matan Torah. So why then does the Braisa tell us that before up to Hakamas HaMishkan you needed that the animals Fakrova be Tahorim and not Tmeim? Well, you're going to derive that from what? From Noach. Noach, the whole distinction between Tmeim and Tahorim doesn't apply. And the answer is Omer Ab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Ab Yochanan, when it says that Noach has to take 7 of the minim tahorim, the kosher species, it means may osan shasidim li toher. Hashem is already teaching Noach, anticipating what's going to happen down the line after Matan Torah, that there are 2 categories of animals. There are tahorim that we're allowed to eat and tmeim that we're not allowed to eat. Already anticipating the Torah being given to Klal Yisrael. And if you'll ask me, Noahavi Yodei, how would Noach understand? How would he know that Bali Chaim down the line will be the Tahorim or Tmeim? Is the answer is Kidrav Chizda. The Yom Rav Chizda Heviron Lifnei Ateva is Kol Shateva Kolatato Biadua Shehu Tahor. Ein Ateva Kolatatan Biadua Shehen Tahor. tmein. So if you're asking me how did Noach know which animals would be tar and which animals would be tamei, the answer is based on Rav Chisda that he would take the animals into the teva, and that was a test to see if it was tar or tamei. And that's based on the statement of Rav Chisda that when he gathered the animals together in front of the teva and he wanted to bring them into the teva, if the teva would accept these animals, he knew that this animal was tahar. If the teva itself would reject this animal, it would be because it was an animal that was tamei. Now here, the statement of Rav Chisda about how Noach actually had this test case, you know, this barometer to determine which is tamei and which is tar in terms of the animals. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara there refers to a slightly different issue, not the issue of a kosher animal versus a non-kosher animal, but rather the issue of an animal that was mashchis darko as opposed to an animal that wasn't mashchis darko, meaning Noach had to take into the teva only the animals that were free of the corruption, the pollution, and the contamination of hishchis kol basar, animals that will live a normal life of a married partner between a zachar and a keva, as opposed to some sort of aberration. And only the animals that were, in that sense, tar, were clean of any sort of corruption, would be allowed into the teva. So that's Rav Chisda in Sanhedrin. That's how Noach was able to test this out. So we're going to have to assume here is that Noach understood that the distinction between tahorim and tmeim is as far as li'asid lava, when the Torah would be given, there were mine bali chayim that would be allowed, the permittable to eat it. Those are the kosher animals, kosher species, and they were kosher v'akrova. And there'd be minim, there'd be species which are prohibited from achila and from akrova, and they are called tmeim. Our Shoyer points out that there are two psukim. One is in Breishis Vav, the other is in Breishis Perek Zion. The pasuk in Breishis Vav, pasuk Chaf, Rashi interprets it in his Pirush al Torah, is referring to the fact that Noah could not take into the teva those bali chayim shenevdo bahen avera, that was subject to an avera. The teva simply would not be collate those animals shehishkis darakam. That's in Perek Vav. In Perek Zion, there's a distinction between Behema Tahor and Behema Tmeya. And Rashi explains that Noach would only take Behema Taurus at seven species, whereas from the Tmeya's only two species. Again, none of these animals had an Avera done to them, but as far as which could be used as a carbon after Noach came out of the Teva, only the Tahoros, and therefore there were seven pairs of Tahoros from each min, whereas with the case of Tmeos, just to keep them alive, after the Teva, he took into the Teva Shnayim Mikol, and they were not used or could not be used as akrova. So the difference between Tmeim and Torim, as far as akrova is concerned, is whether or not these are kosher animals that can be eaten or non-kosher animals that are also bachila. The Gemara now brings an alternative approach, which is based on the sugya in Sanhedrin that we mentioned before, that how did Noach know which bali chayim were lo nevdo ba'avera? How did he also know which were tahorim? Rabbi Avo Omar Kra, the pasuk says in Breishis Zion, v'aba'im zachar unekeva, meaning that Noach took into the teva bali chayim habayim me'aleihem, and they came, so to speak, on their own, gravitationally pulled, as it were, to the teva, and he knew that these were the animals that lo nevda ba'avera, they were the tahoros, in that sense, they were clean, their criminal record was absolutely crystal clean, and he knew also from the tzivui of Hashem that those animals, the bali chayim, that came on their own initiative into the teva, would come shiva shiva if they were seven pairs each, if they were tahorim, if they were kosher animals. And those minim that only brought two by two, those were the animals that are tmeim, that are non-kosher animals, and they are excluded from the Mizbeach. The Gemara goes back to the Brice, Omar Mar, the Brice that we quoted earlier, Kol Karvu Olos. Before the Hakamas HaMishkan, all the Karbonos that were brought were all Ola. And the Gemara's Medayik, Olos in Shlomim Lo. Apparently there was no possibility of being Makriv Shlomim before HaKomas HaMishkan. Vaksiv, wait a second, in the parasha at the end of Shmo, at the end of Mishpatim, which is Shmos Chavdal, before Matan Torah, it says, Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem Parim. It's explicit that they were Makriv Shlomim. This is before Matan Torah. Ela Ema. Here's the way we have to interpret the Braisa. Until this point, the Braisa was dealing with Bali Chaim. And the question is, which Bali Chaim are you allowed to bring on the Mizbeach Bakrova? Now, at this point, the Braisa is dealing with Ishim Hamakrivim, with people who do the Avoda, who do the Akrova. And Hakol, whether or not it's Yisrael or Bnei Noach, Karvu, were Makriv Hekrivu Olos, Uli Bnei Noach Olos in Shlomim Lo. Olos in Shlomim Lo. In other words, all of them were Makriv Olos, the Bnei Noach. But Shlomim, they were not Makriv. Only Klal Yisrael were Makriv Shlomim from the time of Matan Torah, when Moshe, at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, was Zorek Es Hadam Dam Abris Al Ha'om, one by one single file, and then at that point Kedushas Yisrael was Chala on each and every Jew, such that now there was a heter to bring Korbonos Shlomim. That's why at that point they were able to bring Shlomim. Rashi writes that from the moment of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael were chosen, and then they were permitted to bring Shlomim. And the Achronim say, don't take Rashi Kipshuto, straightforward, that Rashi is referring to Kabbalah Satorah. Rashi is quoting the Pasuk, Vayishlaches Nari Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olos Vayakrivu Shlomim, and that's before Matan Torah. But what it means is, from the time of the Zrikas Dam HaBris, that's considered Matan Torah, and that engenders the Kedushas Yisrael and the Heter to bring Korbonos Shlomim. Rabbeinu Chananel here has a different interpretation of the answer of the Gemara, and he says that even though they were Makriv Shlomim as well, as it says explicitly in the Pasuk, but they, the Dinim, or the way they observed or implemented these Shlomim, were identical to Olos, meaning they didn't eat the Basar, but rather they burnt the Basar, just like in the case of an Ola, it's Kulo Kalil. And that's what the Braisa means when it says Hakol Karvu Olos. The difference between Ola and Shlomim in such a case, because the Torah specifies both, is that whereas in the case of the Ola, you combine Imurim and Basa together in one Sreifa, goes up in one fire, but in Shlomim, there was a piecemeal, a twofold, step-by-step Sreifa. There was first a Sreifas Imurim, and that was separate and independent. Then there was a Sreifas Basa, and that was separate and independent. And the reason why they didn't eat the basar is because Ben Noach is Osir Bachilas Kodshim. Bnei Yisrael still had the shame Ben Noach until after Matan Torah, and only then, after Matan Torah, were they allowed to be Makriv Shlomim and eat the basar, Kedin Shlomim as Shlomim are eaten. The Gemara now says that our sugya, as we've learned it until now, is Keman Diomar, reflects the Shita that holds that Lo Karvu Shlom Bnei Noach. However, there is another opinion. De Itmar, we learned to Machlokes Amoroim in this case. Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Chad Omar, Karvu Shlomim Bnei Noach, that Bnei Noach brought Karbano Shlomim. The Chad Omar, the other man, the Omar says, Lo Karvu. They did not bring Shlomim. Now, according to the man, the Omar, who says that Bnei Noach did not bring Shlomim, which we're familiar from our sugya, the question is about Yaakov Avinu, because the Pasuk seems to indicate, and this is in Brachos Mem Vav, that Yaakov in fact brought Shlomim, not Olos. In other words, in contrast to his forefathers who brought only olos, Yaakov Avinu brought shlomim. The Ramban in his Pirush al Torah raises this question, and he says that Yaakov had a pachad Hashem, and as a result of this overwhelming fear of God, he brought shlomim. The Ramban's language is that the purpose of the shlomim was lahashlim elav kol amidos, kamosh darshu shlomim shematilim shalom ba'olam. That shlomim is miloshen shlemus and shalom and peace and harmony, and it integrates all the midos. Yaakov Avinu represents shalom. He represents the ultimate integration of all the attributes. He's what you call Tiferes, not just the mid of Chesed, not just the mid of Gvura, but the combination and integration of all those. This has to be understood, of course, on a deeper level. For our purposes, the Gemara says, "My time of demand Yomar Shekavu Shlom v'nei Noach." Why? What's the basis for the assumption, according to one Mandiyomar, that b'nei Noach brought not only olos but brought shlom as well? D'chsiv, because with regard to the Akrova of Hevel, way back at the beginning of Bereishis, Perek Dalet, it says, "Vehevel evi gam hu mibchoros tsono u'michel behem." So what's the implication of Michel Behem? And the drush is, "Ezed dovar shechalovo karev legami mizbeach." In other words, only the emurim, which are called chelev yechel behem, are brought on the mizbeach. V'ein kulei karev legami mizbeach. But there's a part of the karbon that is designated for achilas habaylim, have yom rezeh shlomim. So we see clearly that B'nai Noach brought, they were makriv hakrovas shlomim. Now, does that mean that the B'nai Noach would be makriv shlomim? They ate the basar. That's a little bit hard to say, because the heter achilas basar shlomim is limited, exclusive for B'nai Yisrael, and they do what's called the zrikas hadam on the mizbeach, which is mati the basar ben Noach before matan Torah. For sure, the akrava was bibama. The Nochri was the one who was Zorikas Adam. Where do we find that the Zorikas Adam on the part of B'nai Noach would be Mate Basar Shlom L'Achila? And the possibility exists that Ben Noach is not Mitzuva on anything more than Sheva Mitzvahs, and therefore there's no separate Iser of Achilas Kodshim with regard to B'nai Noach. He was allowed to eat the Basar Shlomim that he brought on a Bama. Only Klal Yisrael have a Tzivui, a Mitzvah, not to eat, enjoining them from eating Basar Kodshim. Again, this is all very, very iffy. It really connects to the Rabbeinu Chanal that we mentioned earlier, that Nochrim were prohibited, were enjoined from Achilas Kodshim, and when it says they were brought in Shlomim, it means that Krova was Kedin Shlomim, but they didn't eat the Basar, it was burnt on the Mizbeach. So be that as it may, there now is a source for, according to one Mandi Omer, that a Ben Noach brings not just Ola, but even a Karban Shlomim, and that's derived from Hevel. And my time at the Mandi Omer, what are we going to do with the other Mandi Omer? It says, Lo Karbu Shlomim. What's the source for that? And here the Gemara is going to invoke a Pasuk in Tanakh in Shir HaShirim with regard to the Umas HaOlam at the time of Bias HaMashiach. And there the Pasuk says, Uri Tzafon Uvoi Seiman. These are very mystical concepts over here. The Chazal, according to this drasha, we'll soon see another drasha, they interpret it to mean Tisna'er. Uri means Tisna'er, which in Hebrew is translated as Titaref Shalvasa. This is almost a kind of a curse to upset the peace and harmony and comfort of the Ummah, of the nation, Shemaseh B'Tzofon. Now, what does it mean, Maseh B'Tzofon? Now, with regard to Ola, as opposed to Shlomim, we have a din of Shechita B'Tzofon. Again, that doesn't apply to Ben Noach, but the concept in a conceptual realm of Tzofon in Klal Yisrael refers to Karban Ola. And when a Yisrael brings a Karban Ola, it's shechted in the Tzofon. Now, Uma Shemaseh B'Tzofon means B'nai Noach that are Makriv Olos. is tisnayer, titarev shalvasa, vitavo, they should come to Melech HaMashiach Uma, in a different Uma. And what is that different Uma? That's Maaseh B'Tzafon U'B'Darom, which is a reference, an allusion to Klal Yisrael, that in the Makriv, not only in Ola, which is Shechita B'Tzaf, but also Shlomim, that Shechita was B'Chol Makom B'Azor, meaning even in the Darom. But now the Gemara goes back to Mar Nami, according to that Amora who holds that Bnei Noach were not Makriv Shlomim. How do we interpret the pasuk by Hevel that says U'michel Behem, Haksiv U'michel Behem, which was the source that Bnei Noach are Makriv Shlomim? And the Gemara answers that the word Chel Behem doesn't mean a Murim, to differentiate between a Murim, which are burnt on the Mizbeach, as opposed to the rest of the Basa that's eaten, but rather, Mishmei Nehem Didhu. Hevel actually brought a Karban Ola. And the word Michal Bem is telling us that he brought this Ola from the Shmonim HaMuvcharim Shebe'edro, the fattest ones, meaning the choicest ones, in his flock. That, of course, is going to engender the whole story of Cain killing Hevel. The Gemara asks Umar Nami, but according to the Amora who says that Bnei Noach wa makriv shlomim, what do we do with the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, haksiv uri tzafon, and we prove from the drash of the Chachamim that Bnei Noach were not makriv shlomim, and the Gemara answers, ahu, the pasuk uri tzafon, bekibutz golios hu dechsiv, the pasuk is turning in a very mystical way to the Ruchos, to the northern wind, the Ruach Tzfonis, and to the southern wind, to wake up the people of Israel in Golios, and to gather in the exiles where the Jews were dispersed all over the world. The Gemara asks, Vaksiv, when Moshe comes to speak to Paro, the Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Yud, Vayomer Moshe, Gama ato titein biyodenu zvachim violos vasinu Lashem Elokeinu. In other words, the word Zvachim, which means Karban Shlomim here, because Olos is mentioned explicitly, and now the intention of the Pasuk is that Paro should give them animals not only for Karbanos Olos, but also for Karbanos Shlomim, and this is before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael had the status of Bnei Noach. How do we understand that they would bring Karbanos Shlomim, according to Man Yomer, that Shlomim had to wait until after Matan Torah? Of course, a Ben Noach is not allowed to bring a Karban Shlomim. And the Gemara answers that the word Zvachim here, it means animals that are shechted, liachila, v'olos lakrova. So we're not talking about shechting the animal for hakrova, because again, we're talking about Shlomim here, but rather, Paro should give them behemos that could be shechted for achila, meaning chulin, and also olos for krova. Now the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmos Yud Ches, Vaksiv, Vayikach Yisro, Chosei Moshe, Ola Uzvachim Lelokim. And the implication is that before Matan Torah, again, if we're assuming that Yisro came before Matan Torah, he heard about the destruction of Amalek, and they brought Olo Zvachim, the implication is Olo Shlomim, before Matan Torah. So that would support the Mani Omar, who says that even a Ben Noach could bring a Karban Shlomim. Gemara answers, Ahu, the Parsha of Yisro is Li'achar Matan Torah Dechsiv. When did Yisro come? And they made the big giant Suda with all the Zvachim and the Olos. That was after the Chalos Kedushas Yisrael of Klal Yisrael, in the aftermath of Matan Torah. And then they were makriv both Ola and Shlomim. The Gemara asks, "Hanichal man di Yomer Yisro liachar matan Torah hoya el man di Yomer Yisro kodim matan Torah hoya ma'ikal meimar." How are you going to reconcile this pasuk according to man di Yomer that Yisro came before matan Torah? How were they makriv Shlomim before matan Torah? They were all Bnei Noach. And here the Gemara brings a machlokes amoroim to clarify these questions about when exactly Yisro came. The Itmar Bnei Rabbi Chiyo for Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, we have a controversy between these two groups. Chad Omar, according to one group, Yisro Kodem Matan Torah, Vechayor Omar, Yisro Achar Matan Torah. So now we have to again defend that Amora who holds that Yisro came before Matan Torah, and yet they brought Korban Shlomim, to reconcile that with the Man Yomer who says that Bnei Noach did not bring Korban Shlomim, they're not capable of bringing Shlomim. Laman Yomer Yisro Kodem Matan Torah Hayakos Savar Shlomim Ekrivu Bnei Noach. He's of the opinion, in other words, it's all about Talia, there's an interdependence. If you hold that Yisro came before Matan Torah, you have to hold that Ben Noach is allowed to bring a Korban Shlomim. If, on the other hand, you say that Yisro came after Matan Torah, then perhaps a Ben Noach is not allowed to bring a Shlomim. The Shlomim at the time of Yisro was after Matan Torah. And the Gemara now goes back to the Machlokas Amoraim. When exactly did the Maisa Yisro take place? The Gemara thinks it depends upon the following Machlokas Ketanoi. When exactly did Yisro show up? The Pasuk says in Shmos Yudches, Vayishma Yisro Koin Midjan, Mashmua Shoma Uba Venizgayer. Yisro came to join the Bishri. He heard a certain great, fantastic rumor. You know, the news of the day splashed on the front page of the local rag, so to speak. Is Rabbi Yeshua Omer Milcheves Amolek Shoma. He heard about the battle against Amalek, that Klal Yisrael triumphed and defeated Amalek. And what's the implication that he heard about Amalek? Sharik Siv Bitsido, the pasuk next door, before the story of Bias Yisro says, Vayachlosh Yoshuas Amalek Vesamol Fichorev. So we should darshan Smichus Haparshios, and we should assume that the Shmua of the pasuk Vayishma Yisro follows immediately in the aftermath of Vayachlosh Yoshua Samolek. So immediately after Yoshua defeated Amalek and the Shmua went out, again, I don't know if it was in the local newspaper or whatever, and Yisro heard about the defeat of the Amalek, then he was motivated, he was aroused to come to Klal Yisrael and join the people through Gerus. And that's one opinion, that Yisro came in the aftermath of the defeat of Amalek. Now we have another opinion, Rabbi Lozer Amodoi Omer, Matan Torah Shamu Ba. I have an indication that it was after Matan Torah, but way later, that the Shmua of Matan Torah is what brought Yisro to come and join the Jewish people. Kishenitna Torah Yisrael Hayakolo Holech Misofo Leviat Sofo. The voice of the divine being could be heard from the beginning of the world of the earth to the end of the earth. Unbelievable. The nations of the world, or at least the kings of the nations of the world, stood up in their various hechalim, hechalehem, you know, their sanctuaries, and they declared Shira, Shenemar, with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down on Mount Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. The Pasuk in Tehillim Chavtes describes it as Kol Hashem Yecholel Ayalos. When Hashem declared the Aseres HaDibros, there was a pachad amongst the nations, which are so strong like Ayalos. Ayalim, Ayal is Miloshen El, which is power and might. So the nations of the world, Vayachsof Yaros, the Amim, which are considered like the Atzei Hayar, is Yufshitu Michvodam Uvehecholo Kulo Merkavod. In the Hechal of every single king of the nations of the world, they all said Kavod LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Niskabtsu Kulo Meitzel Bilam Arash V'Yomelo Makol HaOman Asher Shamanu. What is this loud voice that just rips through and makes this tremendous noise? Sheva Mabul Boliolam, is there another Mabul? Because the Pasuk says Hashem Labamul Yashav, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu now bringing another Mabul? But Omer Lehem Bilam responds, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Liolam Kvar Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenu Mevi Mabul Liolam. Omer Lo, perhaps it's a Mabul of Mayim that he promised he won't bring, but a Mabul Shal Eish he will bring. Shenemar Pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Ki bo'esh Hashem nishpat." God will bring about justice to the human soul with esh. Maybe now's the moment. Omer Lehem Bilam responded, "Kvar nishpat she'enu mashchis kol basar." Hashem already took a shvua that He would not destroy all of mankind. So the human soul now ask, "Uma kol ha'homan hazeh shamanu?" So what is the nature of this loud voice, this divine voice that we hear, Amalam Bilam responded, Chemda Tova, the Torah itself, which is called a Chemda Tova, a beautiful, beloved, cherished treasure, Yeshlo Beveis Gnozov, he keeps in his treasury, Hoysa Gnuz Etzlo, Shamios Vishim Arba Doros, for 974 generations it was held in abeyance, locked up in a treasury, Kodem Shenivra Olam, even before the Bria Olam, Ubikesh Litno Labanov, and now he's interested, and he's seeking out his children to give to them this great treasure, the Torah itself, Shenemar, the Pasuk says in that parasha that we're reading until Mchavtes, Hashem owes, Liamo Yitena owes, is a reference to the Torah. That's Ma'uzam Shal Yisrael. Miyad, immediately, Paschu Kulam V'yomru Hashem Yivarech Hasamova Shalom. In any event, we see that the Umas Ha'olam recognized Klal Yisrael as being the chosen nation of God, to whom the Torah was given by God. And therefore it's logical that Yisro would come to be Mizgayah to join the people after he heard this great Shmua about Matan Torah that was given, the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Now we have a third opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, some have the Girsa Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Kriyas Yamsuf Shamo Ba. What did Yisro hear that he brought, that brought him, that aroused him to come and join the Jewish folk? He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and here Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov invokes the Pasuk in Yoshua Perkei. It says, Shenemar vayhi kishmoa kol malchei ha'amori. And this Pasuk continues, V'chol malchei aknani ashal ayom. God split the waters, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. And again, we have to understand exactly what the word Yarden means in this context. Ad Avram, until the people of Israel passed through the dry water, Vayimas Levavam, and the Malchi Amori, the Malchi Knani, melted, their hearts melted out of fear. Lo hayabam od ruach mipnei bnei Yisrael. They didn't have the spirit to stand up against bnei Yisrael. V'ach rochav azona, she was the one who told the meraglim who came about the pachad of the umos, the fear of the nations of Canaan when they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. V'yomer l'shluchei Yoshua, and they told the scouts of Yoshua, ki shamanu es asher hovish Hashem esmei Yamsuf. Here it says Yamsuf, which is a lot more miduyak, a lot more appropriate here. Later on, in the same chapter, in Yoshua Beis, Perik Beis, it says, Vaynishma v'yimas levavenu lo koma od ruach be'ish mipneichem. And this is all a result of Kriyas Yamsuf, and it's logical to assume that Yisrael came to Mimizgai when he heard this. The Gemara asks the following question, Maishna Hasam, why the difference in language? There it talks about Bekiyas HaYarden, Di Omar, it says, V'lohoyabam od ruach, U'maishna hocha, here in Kriyas Yamsuf, it, and the Gemara is assuming that these are two separate episodes. Dika Omar, the Pasuk says, V'lo kama od ruach be'ish. And the Gemara answers that Rachav intended to tell the Shluchei Yoshua about the fear of the Umos. De'afilu akshuye nami lo akshu. In other words, they couldn't prepare themselves for any sort of reproductive act. And the Gemara asks, Umino Yoda, how did Rachav know such a thing? The Omar Mar, because of the statement of the Mechilta, She'ein Lecha Kol Sar V'Nogich Lo Baal Rachav Azona, that all the, she was such a popular woman, that all the Moshlim of the various nations that occupied Canaan used to come and visit her, and no one showed up. The Mechilta continues, Amru, Bas Eser Shonim Hoysok Shiyotza Yisrael Mitzrayim. She, Rachav, was only 10 years old at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'zonsa kol arboim shana, for the 40 years that Klal Yisrael traveled through the Midbar, she was preoccupied with Znus. And Li'acher Hamishim Shonim is Gaira. and 50 years when she became 50, in honor of her 50th birthday celebration, is Gaira. She converted to Judaism. V'amra, she said to the Ribono Shel Olam that there were three ways, so to speak, or methods in which I sinned in Znus. Hevel, Chalon, Upishtim. That those who came to have a relationship with her, the Menafim, would climb up to see her, to visit her, Bechavolim, with these ropes. They would come derech chalon, through the window, v'yardim, and they would go down, and she would hide them in pishtei eitz, that no one should be able to discern their visits. So their visits to her were clandestine. And then Rachav says, she adds a bakasha, a supplication, he says, Yehi mocholi, my chet of znus should be removed, Hashem should be mochel me, b'schar chevel chalon upishtin, because when the Shluchei Yeshua came to visit her, she hid them in the same pishtei eitz, that no one should determine who they are, and she brings them down, she lays them down, b'chevel derech chalon, so that they can run away and escape and be safe. That was her tshuva, her rectification of her sins as a zona. Now the Gemara goes back to interpret the Braisa that we saw on Daf Kuftes Vav Amid Beis. Omar Mar, the Braisa says, V'yovdi kachom bizman hazeh rashoim lasos kein. In other words, the Heter Bamos, Hakrov Bamos, continues even after the Beis HaMikdash is built for Ovdei Kochav. Minon Emili, how do we know such a thing? It's not clear why the Gemara needs a pasuk, a source, to be matir bama, krav bama for a guy. After all, the guy has seven mitzvahs. Only Klal Yisrael have a mitzvah to be makrav a korban in the Beis HaMikdash and generate an iser hakrav bama outside the Mikdash. And the Achronim want to quote a Gemara Menachas Ayin Gimel that darshins from the pasuk ish ish asher yakrav korbono l'rabos akum shenodrim nidorim unidovas ki Yisrael. And the parsha Shchutei Chutz, it also says ish ish, and that pasuk comes for a drasha. And back on Daf Kuf Ches, we learned that even if he shechs kodshim b'chutz l'tzorach achilas hejot, he's chayav. Now, me'ato yesh lomar, if not for the pasuk daber al bnei Yisrael, which comes to be matir, as we'll soon see, for a guy to be makriv v'bama, I would have thought that the pasuk ish ish, which is written in the parsha of Shutei Chutz, and is marba akum, as we say, ish ish l'rabos akum l'krovas pnim. So there is a kind of a krovas pnim in akum based on the ribu of ish ish that would generate an isur shkutei chutz for an akum, and therefore we need a pasuk to be matir chutz, meaning a bama for an akum. Inon imili, the Gemara says, derive it Tana Rabbanan according to the Chachom in the Braisa from the parsha of shkutei chutz. It says daber al bnei Yisrael, which means Dafka B'nei Yisrael, they are enjoined from Shchutei Chutz, V'ein Ovdei Kachav Mitzuv Mal Shchutei Chutz. Outside of the Azorah, there's nothing enjoins the Goy from bringing a carbon outside the Azorah. Fichach V'efo Kol Echad V'echad Bona Lo Bama Li Atzmo Makir V'Leha Al Mashi Yirtza Kol Mashi Yirtza. Omer of Yaakov Bar Ach Omer of Asi. Even in the case of Nochrim, they're allowed to be Makriv and Abama. However, as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, Bizman Isur Bomos, Osur Lisayon, Velaso Shlichuson. The guy is allowed to be Makriv and Abama, but we, the members of Klal Yisrael, are not allowed to help in the Hakrovas Hakarban to be Makriv on their behalf, because we have an Isur in the Maisa Krov itself. And Tosus wants to know, according to Rabbi Yossi, that one who is makriv b'chutz, a korban shel goy, is chayav kares. Why does the Gemara use the term asur laso shlichusam? The lashon asur sounds like it's only an Isur, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, if he shechted for the goy outside of the Azoris Chayiv Kares. And Tosfos answers that there are certain avodos that you're not Chayiv Kares for if you don't bachutz. The Chachomim made a gzera and they said it's Asur, even with regard to these avodos, because maybe he'll come to do those avodos that he's Chayiv Aleim Kares. Now there's a sugya Mesechta Menachos on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis of Chonyav Barach LeMitzrayim Ubonasham Mizbeach VeHelasham Olo L'Shem Shomayim. And Tosus asks, L'chor, that would be Shchutei Chutz. And Tosus answers that he was Mala Olos L'Shem Shomayim for Bnei Noach, who took a neder nedova to bring a korban Olo. But this l'chor is against our sugya, because our sugya says Osel Sayel Lehem L'Akav V'Shlichusam. So how do we understand Chonyo, who ran to Mitzrayim and built him his Beach there, he was Mala Ola on behalf of Nidorim and Nidovas of Aku, and that's Shchutei Chutz. And here we have the opposite conclusion. The Tosfos Menachos hold that the Issa to Mimsayel Lohem, to help them to do shlichusam, is only in a guy that was makdish a karmon under the condition that he would makriv b'migdash, and now he changed his mind and he wanted to be makriv in a bama. And according to Rabbi Yossi that we mentioned earlier, this is also included in Isakaris. But in any event, a guy who is makdish a karmon for the sake of being makriv in a bama, like the case of Beis Chanyo b'Mitzrayim, is even Rabbi Yossi agrees that there's no Chiyuv Kares, and therefore there's no Issa to be Mesayea. And on this is a long discussion in the Keren Ora and other Achronim, based on this Tosfos and the Kashya Tosfos in Mesechta Menachos, Ayin Sham. Omar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Omar Rabba, Ula Orinu Lahu Shari. However, we're allowed to teach the Goy, the laws of Hakrova. In that sense, we're not actively participating, we're only educating the Goy, and that's Mutter. It's Limud Torah. The answer is that this is only practical teaching and guidance. It's Oraz Din, it's not considered Limud, and therefore it's not prohibited to teach it to a Ben Noach. So whatever is Limud, we're allowed to teach Ben Noach. We can teach them the Zayin Mitzvahs Ben Noach, so they know how to fulfill those mitzvahs. In this case, how to be Makriv Bibama. The Gemara now tells the story in this context, Ki Ha. Whoops. Hold on a second. I just spilled all the water on my Gemara. Hopefully it'll dry with time. The Ipra Humiz. That was Imei de Shvarmalka, the mother of Shvarmalka, who was the king of Paras. Her name was Ipra Hurmiz, Shadra Kurbana LeRava. She sent a carbon to Rava, Sholchale, and she asked the agent who brought the carbon to request of Rava Askua Nile to bring the carbon on her behalf l'shem Shamayim. Omaluhu, so Rava sent to Rav Safra to Rav Acha Bar Huna, Zilu Udebaru Tre Ulme Guloi. Go and take two young men, non-Jews, who are basically of the same age, V'chazu Hecha Demasku Yama Sirton, and check out the yam, the waters, helu sirton, v'nasa shom yabosha. So find out where there's a dry area in the yam, and there they could be makriv har karbon. And the ground on which they would build the mizbeach was new ground that was never used up until this date. V'chazu, I'm sorry, where are we up to? Right. So we're up to Ushkalu Tzive Chadete. Take new trees that were never used by anyone. V'afiku nura mimora chadato, and light up a fire, a new fire that was again never used in the past, from a makush by hitting, let's say, a piece of metal that was brand new, and by hitting this metal in a very hard way, you're going to be able to set a fire, vaskua niole, and let these bachurim be makriv the karbon l'shem shamayim. Rashi seems to indicate that they were motzi the esh from avonim, from stones, not the way I said it, from barzel, b'amtzos hamakush, by hitting it. And this is the way Rava was scheming, so to speak, was setting it up in such a way that the carbon could be brought by the Goyim on behalf of Ipra Hurmiz, the mother of Shvar Malka. Rashi has a discussion here about when it says it wasn't used by anyone. Rashi wants to know Shlo Yu Shivrei Kalim, because it's very important that these Kalim be absolutely perfect, whole, and they shouldn't be Shivrei Kalim. And in order to achieve that, he has to make sure, rather, that they were never used by anyone. Omale Abai turns to Rava and he says the following. Okay, I'm still trying to dry these dapim here, so bear with me. Kiman, according to which opinion did you give this horah to take Eitzim Chadoshim, Ki Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua? Sanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer, it says in the parish of Akhtar Sa'ola and Vayikra Aleph, V'yarchu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim es ha'nesachim al ha'itzim asher al ha'mizbeach, and there's a hekesh here between Eitzim and Mizbeach. Ma Mizbeach? Shelo yishtamish bo hejot, just like we have halacha in Mizbeach, that it has to be built from new stones that were never used by a hedger, af eitzim, so to the eitzim that we use for haktara have to be brand new. Shlo yishtamish bohen hedgeot. And now we see this briser of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, and Abai points out that Rava, who insists on Eitzim that were never used, right? Shaklut Tzive Chadite, we said before in Rava. He's reflecting, or standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. So Abai asks the fine question, V'hamoda Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua b'bama, although Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua derives from this hekesh between Mizbeach and Eitzim, that the Eitzim have to be brand new, no one ever used them, that's only as far as Mizbeach is concerned, but not with regard to Boma. In Boma we don't need Eitzim Chadoshim. Desanya, we have a Braisa. The Braisa asks a contradiction between a Pasuk in Divrei Yomim and a Pasuk in Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel, regarding a Magefa, a plague, Shehukso Bi'am, that, if you remember, there was an episode in Jewish history during the time of David HaMelech's reign, where the people were counted directly, head by head, and as a result, in the aftermath of that counting, there was a plague, and David was commanded by God HaNavi to be makriv a karbon on a boma in a place called Goren Shel Arona. Arona was one of the Yevusim, and with this karbon, God said, David would be able to terminate this magefa and save Klal Yisrael. So Arona, who was the owner of this Goren, suggested to David a makom, a place, a bakar, which animals to be brought, and the Eitzim. And he suggested that he take these all as a gift. David HaMelech insisted, he held his ground, that he would want to buy everything with money and not accept it as a gift. And in each one of the psukim, it says that David paid a certain amount of money. Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk says in Devar Yomim Aleph, Perikov Aleph, it says, Vayitain David Learnon Bamakom. Shikle Zov Mishkal Sheshmeos. And Uksiv, another pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perikov Dalit, it says, Vayiken David Es Hagoren Vyasabokar Bekesev Shkolim Chamishim. So whereas in the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, it clearly indicates that it was 600 shikle zav. Here in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it indicates that it's only chamishim shkolim. Ha-ketzad. How do we reconcile these two psukim? So the Braisa offers no less than three answers to reconcile these psukim. And there's a whole girsa issue here. We'll just read the girsa that's in parentheses. It says, Govim he called Shevet v'Shevet Chamishim. He would collect, or tax, if you will, each Shevet individually 50. And if you multiply that by 12, you get Sheshmeos. Rebbe Omer, Mishum Abba Yossi Ben Dostoy, Bokar V'Eitzim U'Mokom Mizbech B'Chamishim V'Chol Abayis Kula B'Sheshmeos. That he spent David in payment for Bokar Eitzim and Mokom, the Mokom for the Mizbech, he spent Chamishim, but for the entire Bayis, he would spend 600. Rabbi Loz ben Shamua holds that Bokar Eitzim and Mokom Mizbech Chamishim v'chal Bayis Kula b'sheish meos. But in the gears that we have, it goes like this. Mokom Mizbech b'chamishim. For the spot on the location on which he would build the Mizbech, he paid 50. For the entire bias, as indicated in Sefer Shmuel, the other way around, as indicated by the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, he paid 600. So the Pasuk in Shmuel is referring to the Knias, Mokom, and Mizbech, and only the Mizbech. And for that, he paid 50 shekel kesef. The Pasuk of Divrei Yom is talking about buying the Beis HaGoren and everything therein for the entire enterprise of the Mikdash, and for that he paid 600 shekel zahav, an enormous amount of money compared to what he paid for the Mokom and Mizbeach. And why David didn't buy the Mokom HaMikdash and the Mokom HaMizbech in one kinyan, in two separate independent kinyanim, that's a little bit unclear. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in the name of Abba Yossi ben Dostoy, Gova Mikol Shevet Chamishim Shein Sheshmeos, David actually paid Arona 600 shikle zav for the entire Beis HaGoren and everything that was included therein. The pasuk in Shmuel that indicates that he paid 50 shekel, that's referring or addressing the sum of money that he collected, he taxed from each shevet in order to pay that gigantic amount of money. So he collected from each shevet in shikle kesef the value of chamishim shikle zav. And from each of the 12 Shvatim, he received an amount of, for the total of all the 12 Shvatim, Sach HaKol, he received 600 Shikle Zav. Reb Elezer ben Shemua Omer, Vayiken David Es HaGoren, Kine Mefarish Be'inyan, Vayitein David Le'aron, Le'arnon, Bamokom, Shikle Zav, Mishkal Sheshmeos Aval Abokar Liola Veha Morigim Uklea Bokar Lietzim Bekesef Shkolim Chamishim. Notice the Pasuk in Shmuel should be divided up into two parts. The beginning of the Pasuk, it says that David bought the Goren. It doesn't tell us exactly what sum of money he paid for the Goren. In Divrei Hayomim, it says explicitly that he paid 600 Shikle Zav. And the next part of the Pasuk is addressing the kniya, the purchase of bakar amorigin, uklea bakar, and for that he paid 50 shikle kesef. And it would seem from the psukim that the 50 shikle kesef that David paid for the bakar amorigin and the klea bakar, because before that it says that he suggested, he proposed to that Arona proposed to David that these objects would be received as a matana, as a gift. The pasuk says, "Vayomer arvana el David yikach v'yal adoni hamelech atov bienov re'e habakar liola." Take the bakar and you'll be makriv them as an ola. Vamorigim. The Gemara later is going to address the question what morigin exactly means. Uklea bakar, you'll be able to use them li eitzim, for eitzim. And it says that David refused to receive this matana, and he insisted on paying for everything with kesef, with money, and therefore it's logical to assume that for these objects which are arvana, which Arona presented as a gift, and David insisted to pay chamishim shikle kesef, that's a reference to these morigin and klea bakar and the bakar itself. So according to Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, who mentions morigin and klea bakar, these are various types of utensils that are used, that are made of wood, and those are the ones that David insisted on paying for eitzim, for the Akhtara on the Bama, so Lechora, they were already used by Arona. And you see, therefore, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua admits, or he agrees, that in a Bama, there's no need to be makpid for Eitzim Chadoshim. You could even get a hold of Eitzim Mishumashim that were already used by Arona. And this is Abai's proof, and his cash against Rava. How or why does Rav insist that you need Eitzim Chadosh for carbon in a Bama? And Rav Amarcha, he'll answer, Hasam Nami Bechadeti, that there too, in the context of David and Arona, these Morigim were brand new. Chadeti means they were brand new. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is Morigim? Omar Ula Mita Shel Turbal. Okay, what's Mita Shel Turbal? Omar Abaye Iza Dekirsima Didaishin Dishoy. In the Hebrew, it's Neser Eitz, some sort of slab of wood, gadol, very large and of a very thick, and it has deep indentations, Pkimos Amukos. And Yesedos Chadim, it has sharp Yesedos. Yesedos in English, I know what a Yesedo is, but I can't remember the word for Yesedos. Kind of like pegs or stands that you'll find legs on the various corners of something that has to be stood up. Anyway, we're talking about Pegimos Amukos and Yesedos Chadim, very sharp. And he says, "Kshemavirin es ha'etz al gabi akoshim." There was kash. There was some sort of a straw that was left after the disha of the tvua, and when they would pass this etz on top of the straw, then the kashim would become teven. It would be broken down into smaller pieces that could be fed to an animal. So this is what Mita Shel Turbal, which is identical with Morigim, was used for, to try to chop down these large pieces of kashim and make them into animal fodder by making them into teven. Omar Abai Maikra, how do we see from the psukim that this Morig had charitzim and it was a clay disha, was used to chop up these very heavy pieces of straw? The pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi that addresses the success, the military triumph of Yisrael Yosid Lavo against its enemies at the end of days, the time of the ultimate redemption, it says, "Vehine samtich lemorag Charutz Chadash Baal Pifios Tadush Harim V'Tadok. The Moreg has Pifios. It has these kind of teeth that are Charitzim, that are very sharp pegs or legs that slice into the ground, and they make furrows in the ground, and they're used for disha. And the pasuk means to say that Klal Yisrael is like can be compared to a morog, which is a kli disha that's meant to chop up something. When it's new and it has these pifios, these charitzim, that are still very sharp, they haven't been dulled by use, and they can break up the tvua into small pieces. And with this vessel, with this utensil that they did disha, it would smash these, eventually smash the mountains, which means the umos ha'olam, these nations, these adversaries that are compared to mountains that rise up against us to try to destroy us. Makri le Rava lebre, Rava taught his son the book of Shmuel, v'rami le kraya adadi, and he asked the following, he raised the following seeming contradiction in the verses, k'siv. In one pasuk in Divrei Yomim, it says, "Vayitein David l'Arnon shikle zav mishkal sheish meos." Uksiv, but on the other hand, in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, "Vayiken David es goren vesabok or bekesef shkolim chamishim." Not 600, but 50. As Kate said, how do we reconcile these two psukim? But rather, go ve David would collect mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim shehein sheish meos, which made up from the 12 tribes 600 shikle zav. And Rava asks, v'akati kashin adadi, there still remains an outstanding contradiction, because Hossam in Sefer Shmuel says kesef, meaning kesef shkolim, shikle kesef. Ilu hocha here in Divrei Hayomim, with regard to the amount of the sum of money he gave to Arona, it says shikle zav. Ilu hochi kamer, this is what the pasuk means, go there. What he collected from each shevet was shikli kesef, and that's to the tune or the value of chamishim shikli zav. So he collected shikli kesef that had the value of 50 shikli zav, and altogether from each of the shvatim he had kimishkal sheshmeos zav, 600 shikli zav. The Gemara now turns back to interpret the Mishnah back on Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis, and the Mishnah says that from the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, Kodshim Kalim would be eaten anywhere in Machne Yisrael, meaning anywhere in Yerushalayim, Amar Rav Huna, Bechol Makomos Yisrael, that Kodshim Kalim could be eaten anywhere before Hakamas HaMishkan, Aval Machne Yisrael Lo Havi. There was no Iser of Achilas Kodshim Kalim outside of Machne Yisrael. The Mishnah that Rav Huna is coming to interpret is addressing explicitly the case of after Hakomas HaMishkan. After Hakomas HaMishkan, Kodshim Kalim is eaten Bechol Machne Yisrael. Rav Huna says Bechol Makomos Yisrael. It sounds like there was no Iser of Achilas Kodshim, in the case of Kodshim Kalim, outside of Machne Yisrael, according to Rav Huna, whereas the Mishnah seems to indicate that only within Machne Yisrael was there a heter to eat Kodshim Kalim. In any event, Esve Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman asks a kash on Rav Huna, Umachnos Bamidbar Lohavi. In the Midbar, was there no Iser Achilas Kodshim Chutz L'Machne Yisrael? As if to say that when Rav Huna is talking in the context of our Mishnah after Hakomas HaMishkan in the Midbar, he's saying that in the Midbar itself, as opposed to the Migdash and Eretz Yisrael, there was no delineation, no distinction between the boundaries of Machne Yisrael and Chutz L'Machne Yisrael, so that the Yisrael Achilus Kodshim would not apply Chutz L'Machne Yisrael, because that distinction between Machne Yisrael and outside of Machne Yisrael doesn't apply in the Midbar. V'asanya, we have a Braisa, Kishem Shehoya Machne B'Midbar Kach Hoya Machne B'Yerushalayim. In other words, that the Braisa seems to assume that the Machnos that were existing in Midbar applied even to Machne Yerushalayim. What does that mean? That after the Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, from the area from Yerushalayim to the Har Bayis is considered parallel to the Machne Yisrael that existed in the Midbar. Umehar Bayis ad Shar Nikanor. So we're moving towards the more holy parts, and that means from the Har Bayis up until Shar Nikanor, which is on the eastern side of the Azora. That's called Machne Leviyah. Mikan v'yelech Machne Shechina. V'hein hein kloim sheva midbar. That the din of Kedushas Makom from Shara Niknar inside, moving Blifnim, has the din of within the kloim in the case of midbar. In any event, it becomes clear from this braisa that in the Midbar, there was an Isur V'Achilas Kodshim outside the Machne Yisrael. Just like there's an Isur V'Achilas Kodshim outside of Yerushalayim. So we see that the sanctity of the Machne, in this case of Yerushalayim, the Machne that parallels Yerushalayim, existed even in the Midbar, and that's against Rav Huna. Ella Ema, we have to sort of revamp the statement of Rav Huna. And what Rav Huna meant to say was Kodshim Kalim would be eaten b'chol makom Machne Yisrael. In other words, if they were makriv a Kodshim Kalim, then if he's holding on to Basar Kodesh, and they took apart the Mishkan, and they traveled from one place to the other, is the makom Chaniyosam, the second Mokum Chaniyosam, where they set up shop and camp, is Chosev Yochalas HaBosar. Even though they traveled with the Basar Kodesh, now they could still eat the Basar. We have a kind of traveling Machne, so to speak, and the Heter of eating Kodshim Kalim would apply even Bishas Maso while they were traveling, and Kodshi Kodshim, which were Aser Vachila, if there was a need, they would set up the Mechitzos B'Shas Achila. At the time of the Masa, there were no Mechitzos, and there would be a Psul of Yotze. So the Gemara says, Pshita, what's the Chiddush in this Halacha? Ma'od, the same the Gemara answers, Ifsalu B'Yotze. You would think that once they took apart the Mishkan, and therefore they nulled and voided the Machnos, the Basar itself would have the status of Yotze, would be possible because it left its Makom. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush here is that Ein HaBasar Nifsal. And the Gemara asks me, Ema Echinami, maybe we should say that Echinami, the Basar should be possible. How do you know it's not possible? Amar Kra, the Gemara answers from the pasuk that it says in the parasha of the Masos at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Vinasa Ol Moed, and with Darshan Afal Pisha Nasa Ol Moed, who it still has the status of Ol Moed, and there's no psul of Yotze even when they take apart the Mishkan and they move from one camp to the other. So it comes out now that the way the Gemara is reinterpreting Rav Huna, that Kodshim Kalim, when he said it could be eaten b'chol makom, he meant b'chol makom b'machne Yisrael. And if he was makriv Kodshim Kalim, and he has Basar Kodesh, they would take apart the Mishkan, and they reestablish the machna in another place, he could still eat the basar. It hasn't been invalidated, or shall we say, disqualified through the halacha of yotze. Tosus Yadima Maskal Ema disagrees with this pshat of Rashi. He holds that even b'shas masa, you were allowed to eat the kachim kalim. Rashi holds he could only eat the kachim kalim after they established a new machne. And Tosus says the only isa during the masa itself was in kachim kachim. That was also b'achila because you need mechitzos b'shas achila. And at the time of the masa, there was no mechitzos, and they become posel b'yotze. But not so with regard to kachim kalim. They could be eaten even b'shas masa. The Gemara now brings a Tana who holds that there was a fourth machna. Tanya, Rabbi Shim ben Yochai Omer, that in addition to the three machnos that we mentioned earlier, machna Shechina, machna Leviya, machna Yisrael, Od, there was a fourth machna, Od Acheres Oysa, and that's called Chel V'Ezras Noshim. If somebody entered into that area Betuma, there was no violation, there was no punishment for such a thing. For this you have to learn the first parak in Masech the Kalim, that on the Har HaBayis, Tmei Mesim and Nochrim were allowed to enter, but they weren't allowed to enter to the Chel and Ezras Noshim. That far they couldn't go. However, there was no punishment for such a thing. Ubishilo lohaya l'shtei machnos bilvad. The Gemara asks, "Haiminayu lohave? Which machnos of the three machnos did not exist in Shilo?" And the Gemara answers, "Omar Rabba mistabra. It makes sense. The machna leviyah havi. There was a machna Yisrael, a machna leviyah, but there was no machna Yisrael. This alkadak. If you'll tell me that machna leviyah lohavi, that in Shilo there was no machna leviyah." Here we're taking a look at Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph. Is then Nimtzu Zovim Utmei Mesim, who are allowed into the Machna Yisrael, Mishtalchen Chutz LaMachna Achas. In other words, they were only sent out of the Machna Shechina. Could that be? Vatorah Omer, the Torah says, Velo Yitamu Es Machanehem. And the Pasuk says, Machaneim b'loshen rabim, shtei machnos. And the Torah says, tein machna lezeh, o machna lezeh. You have to send out the Tmei Mesim out of one machna, which is the machna Shechina. And it would imply that they're allowed to be shehiyah, they're allowed to stay in the machna leviyah, but machna lezeh. And in the case of Zovim and Bali Keri, you have to send them out of an additional machna besides the first machna. That means chutz l'machna leviyah. So we see clearly that at the time of Shiloh there was also a machna leviyah, and then it could be mekayim the mitzvah shiluach zovim ubali keri chutz l'shtei machnos. And the only machna that was lacking, that was missing in the case of Shiloh, was machna Yisrael. The Gemara now is going to ask a kasha on Rabba's proof that in Shiloh there was no machna Yisrael. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Rabba and he says, Alamai, according to Yoshita, Machna Yisrael Ohavi, there was no Machna Yisrael. The third Machna was gone in Shiloh. Nimtu Zovin, Zovin that are allowed to come into the Machna Yisrael Mitzorayim, that are Osir B'Machna Yisrael, Mishtalchim L'Mokom Echad, they would be both sent to the same Machna, meaning Chutz L'Machna Leviyah. Vatorah Omra, the Torah says with regard to Mitzora and Vayikra Yud Gimel, Bodod Yeshev, Shlo Yeshev Tomei Acher Imo. And according to you, Rabba, it comes out that the Mitzora was not alone, he was sent out together with the Zovim, because the Zovim were Mutar B'machni Yisrael. Ella, therefore, Rava comes up with a different Teretz. And Amir Tzashem, this Teretz will pick up in tomorrow's Shia. So we're stopping here on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph on the top. We're up to Amalei Rava, which would be about four lines down, but we may want to, begin the sugya from the top of Kuf Yud Zayin just to review it.